It is time to go outdoors and get an update on fall hunting and fishing with Steve Kearney and his site, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I've been good. It's been good, Steve. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, very good. Give us an update on the outdoors. You want to start hunting, or do you want to start with the fall bite?
Oh, my goodness. It's been kind of a crazy week. You know, this weekend is the youth firearm season goes today and tomorrow, and heard some mixed results. You know, the bow hunting for me has been somewhat uneventful. It's the deer is still kind of moving really late in the night, and really not much need for them to move. You know, it's been so warm and so nice. On the other hand, I was able to bag a turkey this week, which was pretty cool. I'm a real fan of fall turkey hunting. I really like it. I don't do it in the spring, but in the fall, you can take a hen or a jake, pretty much any turkey. You can only take one. And the idea is try to intercept them as they're moving along cornfields and tree lines. And I had just the exact scenario the other day. I was able to get 400 or 500 yards up ahead and, you know, wait for them to work, you know, their way down the fence line. And it was great. And I even picked out a small bird. Last year, my big Tom was rather tough on the table, let me tell you. So I just went with a smaller bird this time, about probably 8 pounds or so. So maybe half the size of the Tom I took last year. And I think I can make it much more palatable on the table. And I think it's going to be, great. And it was just really fun. And fishing has been really strange. I've been out a lot this week with the groups, and it's been kind of up and down. It's really good early in the morning for about the first couple hours, depending what the weather's doing. And Monday morning, it was 27 degrees on the water in the morning. And I think it's, you know, the fish are starting to make their adjustment into fall. They're a little bit tougher to find. They're not quite, you know, in their turnover patterns yet, where the water turns over and they tend to move some deep, some shallow. They're just kind of in a transition right now. So we're kind of in a transition for everything right now, Steve. We're just kind of at that time of October.
Yeah, I wanted to get back to turkey. It is amazing. I remember as a kid or even a young adult, you would just never see wild turkeys. Now you see them everywhere, even here in the metro area. They're all over the place.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's such a prolific bird, you know, and I think the reason that they've done so well in Minnesota is they roost up high in the trees, you know, so they're not like pheasants where they're on the ground and buried in a cattail swamp or predators can get to them. And that's why turkeys, you know, have a great lifespan. They can get up nice and high and roost off the ground, and they're an amazing bird. I mean, they're kind of like walleyes. They like, you know, edges, and they like inside turns, and when you see them going in a particular direction, let's say east to west, they're going somewhere in a particular direction, and they stay in that direction. That's why you can get ahead of them and kind of cut them off as they work their way down, you know, cornfields or tree lines or whatever it is, and they're very predictable that way. And also, you know, in the fall, they're not as spooky. They're in, you know, big groups. So I've seen some groups of 30, 40 at a time. And they're much more relaxed in the fall. You know, they're not being, you know, harassed like they are in the spring. So it's kind of a different bird in the fall. But it is the bird of the future. There's no doubt about it. They're just, like you say, I've seen them on 494. I've seen them on 694. I've seen them in northern Minnesota. They're just an amazing bird.
Every now and then they'll march through my backyard. It's kind of like, whoa, check that out. And you never used to see it. So it is quite a comeback story. Hey, about the pheasant hunt, what are you hearing? I know that there's a lot of excitement about the pheasant hunt every year. It's very enjoyable. A lot of people head to South Dakota, but you can find birds here in Minnesota. What are you hearing so far, a week into it?
You know, it's been a tough one so far. It's the numbers really aren't what we thought they were going to be. And, you know, I never really put much credence in, you know, the paperwork ahead of time. But the corn is about halfway down now, so we're starting to see a few more birds than we did 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I just kind of, my judgment on this is I'm just not real sure yet. I haven't seen the broods on the roads like I normally do. Some of the roosters I've seen don't have their color yet. They're very young. But it's going to get better, Steve, you know, and that's what's nice about this, you know, late October. The corn is going to be harvested. All the crops are going to be out, and the pheasants are going to be much more easier to find. The deer are going to be rutting here in the next week or so. You're going to start seeing all kinds of chasing going on. Fishing is going to get better. It's 54-degree water temperature. So everything is coming full circle, and everything will be going here. Probably my favorite time of the year would be the last couple of weeks of October and all of November when everything happens. So you got to be patient. It's going to get better. Just got to hang in there. This is what I call the October lull, which we have right now, kind of that weird period in October when you're sort of waiting for everything to happen, but it always does.
And one final word, we need rain. I'm sure in all your travels, it is dry. It is insane how dry it is here in the cities. And in my travels out of town for a high school sporting event or whatever, we need the rain, period.
You know, Steve, some of the rivers that I've been jump shooting on for years and years are as low as I've ever seen. You actually have to portage a lot of these rivers now instead of travel in a canoe. Plus, the accesses, lake accesses, are getting in trouble again, just like they were a couple of years ago. And we haven't had rain in the northwestern part of Minnesota for, I would say, almost 2 months. So, yeah, we need rain bad, and I hope we get it.
Well, it's always good to visit with you, Steve. We'll do it again in 1 week. Real quickly, where are you going to be? We can all live vicariously through your adventures in the outdoors.
You know, Steve, I was just kind of thinking about this next coming week, and it's going to be a potpourri of bow hunting, duck hunting, fishing. Duck hunting's been really slow, too. It's the migration has not even started yet, so it's going to be everything on the table this week. So this is going to be a great week, and I'm going to take a few extra vitamins, a little bit more sleep, so I can make it through the week, because it's going to be a good one.
All right, enjoy it. It sounds great.
All right, take care, Steve.
There he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors. By the way, our outdoors coverage comes your way on Sunday as well. Rob Driesline from the Outdoor News has an hour-long show. Sunday is between 5 and 6. He has a lot of great guests, tons of great information. Rob Driesline, the Outdoor News, Sunday is between 5 and 6 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. When we come back, a lot of sports headlines. Golden Gopher men's and women's hockey underway. The Wild back at it tonight. They continue the long road trip. They are in Columbus tonight. The Timberwolves getting ready to start the 24-25 season. And oh, by the Lynx, they forced a Game 5 with a thrilling win at Target Center on Friday night. Game 5 of the WNBA Finals Sunday in Brooklyn. We'll have all of that coming up here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. College football final starts following the weather at 4:30. Scores and game reports. Jonathan Lowe will focus on the Big Ten, the top 25, the Missouri Valley Football Conference, and, of course, St. Thomas playing in the Pioneer League today. They have El Paraiso today, so we'll have all of those scores. And then I'll have game reports from the MIAC, the Northern Sun. We'll check the WIAC scoreboard today and the UMAC scores as well. And we've already got a couple of reports all ready to go. Kevin Reed, Bemidji State, Josh Deere, Concordia St. Paul. Game reports already lined up, all ready to go. And I mentioned this before. Once upon a time, we did it live. People would phone in. But so many of these people are busy or traveling or so on and so forth. Now folks are just able to record it on the fly on their phone and then send it to us. So we have more reports than ever, but we should note some of those are recorded in advance. So before they hit the road or they go on to volleyball or some sort of other activity on campus, they're able to send in their game report. So we'll get into that momentarily. How about the Lynx? What a nail biter in a very close series. Of course, the Lynx had the epic comeback in game one in Brooklyn to go up one game to none. Then New York pretty much in control in Game 2 to square the series at a game apiece. Then the buzzer beater in Game 3, New York Cup 2-1, and then the Lynx find a way, two late free throws, and they hold on to win by 2 at Target Center in advance to Game 5. This is it. It's for all the marbles, whatever you want to say. The WNBA Finals come down to a Game 5 in Brooklyn on Sunday night. That is a 7 o'clock start. And Jonathan, I don't know about you, but I caught most of the game. I was doing little channel surfing, jumping over to the MLB playoffs last night. You had New York and Cleveland in another wild game in Cleveland. So I was jumping back and forth, but I had all eyes glued in the fourth to the Lynx holding off the Liberty. It should be a great Game 5, and what a showcase for the WNBA.
Yeah, I was here last night working with Henry Lake, and we had the baseball games on. We had the Lynx on the entire time. We were quite focused on the Lynx, and actually there was a very nice conversation and a great opportunity for us. We got Angie Craig, Congresswoman Angie Craig, and Congressman Dan Goldman from New York. They were both in town. They were both together at Target Center watching the game. And so
I saw a photo on social media of those two together.
Yes, and Lake interviewed them both about 20 minutes before tip-off. We do have that podcasted at WCCORadio.com. If you go to Henry Lake's, go to the Lake Show podcast. There were no politics involved in the discussion. It was all Lynx, Liberty, what's your friendly bet? What, you know, get some trash talking going. It was a fantastic conversation.
Yeah, that is very good stuff. But what a finish! What a series!
Yeah,
and this is the league taking another step. I've talked a lot about it this postseason, and there's so much about Caitlin Clark and the year and her coming out of the college game, and it's brought more attention to the WNBA. But we know how good in these parts the WNBA can be, in the four championships and all the legendary players that were a part of that. And, of course, Cheryl Reeve now coaching this group, led Team USA to a gold medal in the Olympic Games. And then the Lynx came back and have been hot and playing really well together as a team. And then, of course, you have the New York Liberty, the number one seed, who've had a fantastic year, and they have plenty of star power in their own right. This is just, once again, this league continuing to take another step forward and moving up the ladder. And there's a lot of options. Let's face it, there's a lot of competition for eyeballs and sports entertainment. They continue to move up the ladder. It's a great product.
Yes, and the residual effect of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Cameron Brink and this class of rookies coming in is, okay, now I might watch the New York Liberty. Now I might watch the Minnesota Lynx. Now I might watch the Connecticut Sun, who none of these players are on. And so then you get into the higher end of the competition, and that may keep your eyeballs there through the finals, through the entirety of the rest of the season. And so it might be the rising tide lifts all boats, but you might have that tide reaching some of the boats that were just dry docked. You know, you may have had a low tide with boats that were dry docked, and then here comes the water lifting everybody up. So, oh, wait, there was already this talent that was here that was already playing, and now we're just exposing ourselves to seeing that in front of our eyes. And this series, for as wild as it's been, with the team, with the first three games, teams getting pretty massive leads, 15, 18 point, you know, double digit leads, and then the other teams coming back, and in two cases coming back to win, the other case, the comeback fell just short. And then last night, it was just tight back and forth. No one got a big lead. And the tension was there throughout the entire game. Who would take over in the fourth quarter? Who would take over in the last minute and a half or minute of the game? And so the fact that the Lynx were able to pull this one out at home, now it's up in the air. I think it's up in the air as far as who wins. I know that the top-end talent of the Liberty is a little better than the top-end talent of the Lynx, but the Lynx, I think, have more depth than the Liberty do. So which one comes into play more? And that's going to be the fascinating thing to watch tomorrow night.
Yeah, final thing about Game 4, you would have to admit, especially a paranoid Minnesota sports fan who says that the Revs are always out to get us, I do agree with the New York Liberty head coach. I feel like the Lynx got the better of the calls last night in the officiating overall. And that's not knocking the officials. That happens because they're human beings as well. But I would say that the Lynx got the better of the officiating in Game 4.
If you were here last night, Henry Lake will not agree, and I don't know, he might say this early next week. I don't think he would agree with Sandy Bordello from the Liberty.
Yeah, and she was angry about it.
She was very angry.
I would just say on the foul that put the Lynx to the line and the two free throws made by Carlton, I don't know.
In that spot,
considering how they let him play all night,
and that was
I'm not sure about that.
That was number one. That was the other thing I was going to mention. They let them play extremely fit. It's a physical game. Yeah. Basketball is a physical game for people that don't know or understand, but they let them play extremely physical last night. Second part is I absolutely call that a foul. They didn't call that on Stewart. They called that on Ionescu, and she undercut Bridget Carlton. You can't go in, as physical as that game is, you can't go in when someone's jumping up for a rebound and undercut them and not allow them to land. That's where the foul was called, in my opinion, and I think that's a foul every time, no matter how physical the game is. You can't go undercut a player like that.
Well, and once again, though, I think that sets the stage for how is the game officiated in Game 5 tomorrow night. You know, do they continue to let them play? Does New York get some more calls? Is Stewart better? Is Collier better? I think two of the big names for both teams in this game, you wouldn't say they had phenomenal Game 4.
No, they didn't. They did not.
So, very interesting storylines. Game 5 tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Lynx Liberty from Brooklyn. It should be a sold-out building. Great sports entertainment. A chance for the Liberty to win their first or the Lynx to win their fifth WNBA title.
And by the way, what a day tomorrow for Minnesota sports. Because you've
Lions,
got the Lions Vikings down the road here, down the street here at US Bank Stadium to start off the day, start off the afternoon, and then you have Lynx Liberty at night for a championship. It's a pretty big day here across the upper Midwest.
Yeah, it is very good stuff indeed. The Wild, by the way, back at it. They are in Columbus. Game time, 6 o'clock there. This long stretch of games on the road continue for the Minnesota Wild. They had a bit of a break in the trip, were able to come home, and now they are in Columbus once again to play the Blue Jackets tonight at 6 o'clock. Timberwolves start their season next week, Tuesday night to be exact, in L.A. against the Lakers. Meanwhile, Golden Gopher men's and women's hockey. Golden Gopher men go for a sweep in Duluth over the UMD Bulldogs. It is 4:30. Quick break. We'll come back.
One other thing real quick, Steve, that we forgot that we don't want to forget. The Loons, Minnesota United, it's decision day in the MLS. It's the final day of the final night of the regular season. They are hosting St. Louis City at 8 o'clock tonight over at Allianz Field, and they are in the playoffs, but their seeding and whether they play in that 8-9 game coming up next week, that one-game playoff, it's still to be determined.
Yeah, once again, Loons in action on the Midway in St. Paul tonight against St. Louis as well. When we come back, college football final, we'll get started with the Big Ten, the top 25 scores. And then, of course, we'll have the Missouri Valley. We'll update you on how St. Thomas is doing in the Pioneer League, and then we'll have the MIAC, the Northern Sun. All those games are final today. We'll check the UMAC and the WIAC. It's all on the way here on a Saturday at News Talk 830 WCCO. It is another Saturday, another gorgeous weather Saturday in October in these parts. And we are getting started on college football final. We are here through 6 o'clock tonight. And we'll try to bring you every score, Big Ten, top 25, and then every score from around the area. Plus, we have a ton of game reports already lined up. And we'll bring those to you, particularly out of the MIAC and the Northern Sun. But without further ado, let's get into that Big Ten scoreboard. By the way, Minnesota is idle this week, but we'll check the Big Ten, top 25, the Missouri Valley. We'll tell you how the Tommies are doing. Here is Jonathan Lowe.
Thank you very much, Stevie T. And it is, it's feeling a little bit more today like it should be. It's not, like Steve just said in the weather report, it's not going to feel a very fall-like in the next few days, but that's okay. That's all right. We're in mid-October, folks. The leaves are changing. We're past the peak in some areas, peak foliage. That's okay, because all you need to know is there's a whistle somewhere, there's a buzzer somewhere, there's a kickoff somewhere, and it's all part of a wonderful, beautiful, lovely Saturday of the fall, y'all. College football here, there, and everywhere, and we get it rolling in the Big Ten, and we start in Champaign. Two top 25 teams in action, and it's been a kind of a slugfest. Bit turnover field in Champaign. Number 22, Illinois, just kicked off the third quarter, kicking it to number 24, Michigan. 13-7 the score, again, early in the third quarter. Let's head to Maryland. Let's head to College Park. It is late second quarter, about to get to the half. In College Park, USC and Maryland, 14-7 Trojans as both teams enter the game 3-3. Finals from earlier in the day. The game of the day early in the Big Ten, number 16 Indiana was hosting 5-1 Nebraska, and it wasn't a game at all. The Hoosiers get to 7-0 impressively, 56-7. The Hoosiers crushed the Cornhuskers today, and they are a team with a rise. They're number 16 with a bullet right now, because they are going to rise up in the standings. In Piscataway, UCLA, they get an easy or a tight win, excuse me, over Rutgers, 35-32 the final there. The Bruins get their second win on the season. They drop Rutgers to 4-3. Wisconsin goes on the road, wins in Evanston over Northwestern, 23-3. The Badgers are now 5-2. Coming up later tonight, it'll be Iowa on the road in East Lansing to take on Michigan State. Last night, number 2 Oregon got to 7-0, shutting out Purdue in West Lafayette, 35-0. To the top 25 scoreboard. It is now at the half on Rocky Top. Number 7 Alabama, number 11 Tennessee, just like Michigan, Illinois. A lot of defense, a lot of turnovers, some sluggish offensive play. 7-0 tied over the Vols at the half. They've just started the third quarter in Annapolis. Number 25 Navy looking to go to 6-0 on the season, and they're doing so easily. They lead Charlotte 38-10. Early third. It is midway through the third quarter in Atlanta. Number 12, Notre Dame, fell behind early to Georgia Tech, but have responded with 21 straight points. 21-7, the Irish lead the Ramblin' Wreck. In Starkville, number 14, Texas A&M, on the road against Mississippi State. The Aggies lead late in the second half, 21-10. Finals from earlier today. It looked bleak in Como, folks. It looked bleak for your boy and his team. 19th-ranked Missouri was down to Auburn. They had lost their starting quarterback midway through the first quarter. He didn't show up until about late in the third quarter, and boy, did that make a difference. Missouri gets to 6-1, defeating Auburn 21-17 in a comeback fashion. They score with under a minute to play, get that game-winning touchdown. Number 23, Army, they are perfect on the season, 7-0. They win at home over East Carolina, 45-28. Number 6, Miami, in a wild one in Louisville, took down the Cardinals and get to 7-0, 52-45, the final in the ACC. Number 10, Clemson, they get a big win after trailing early at home to Virginia. The Tigers win 48-31 over the Wahoos. Coming up later on this evening, number 8, LSU will take on Arkansas. It'll be number 17, Kansas State at West Virginia. Number 9, Iowa State hosts Central Florida. The game of the night, number 1, Texas, number 5, Georgia in Austin. That kicks off just under 2 hours from now. Number 21, SMU, they'll be on the road at Stanford. And then last night, what a wild finish. I stayed up to watch the end of this game. Number 13, BYU, they were down late to Oklahoma State. They gave up the lead late. They come down, score with seconds on the clock. I believe it was 10 seconds to play, and BYU is undefeated still at 7-0, 38-35, the final in Provo. To the Missouri Valley real quick, no numbers there. We do have a couple of finals, one final to talk about here with local teams, local ties. North Dakota defeats Northern Iowa in Grand Forks 31-7. Two games coming up later this evening. South Dakota looking to get to 6-1. They will be in Youngstown to take on Youngstown State. And the game of the night there, this is actually going to be on ESPN2, folks. So you don't have to flirt around with streaming or anything like that. ESPN2, 7 o'clock. I believe it's the border marker battle. South Dakota State at the Fargo Dome to take on North Dakota State. That will be a one to watch. And then in the Pioneer League, St. Thomas continues their winning ways. They win again today in Valparaiso, 42-14. So the Tommies get above 500 for the first time this season and stay undefeated in the Pioneer League.
Yeah, and the Tommies got off to a slow start. They got blown out by the University of Sioux Falls at O'Shaughnessy and are starting to come to life. That is for sure. One thing I wanted to talk about, actually two things out of the Big Ten today with Minnesota Idol. Those Illinois uniforms and helmets today against Michigan are really cool. I don't know if you've had the game on in the studio or not, but there was a story about the helmets that the design work makes it look like one of the old leather helmets, old school leather helmets. They are so good. And another one, their next door neighbor at Indiana. How about the Hoosiers this year? They look like the real deal, Jonathan Lowe. It is incredible how well the Indiana Hoosiers are playing. All right, let's jump over to the scores around the area, and then we've got game reports coming up. Let's start in the MIAC today and this Saturday, October 19th, and get to the scores. Let's start in Northfield. St. Olaf beat St. Scholastica in a wild one, 36-33. We'll get a game report on that one coming up. Michael Abdallah will have it. Concordia wins on the road big at Hamlin, 41-7. Of course, the Cobbers got beat by St. John's a week ago. Bethel rolls over Augsburg in Arden Hills, 73-8. Austin LaJesse will have a Royals game report a little bit later on in the show. St. John's was in Northfield to play Carlton. Johnny's win, 48-7. And we hope to get a game report on that one before we say goodbye. And once again, the Johnnies remain unbeaten. They're now 6-0, 4-0 overall. And their great quarterback, Aaron Severs, another monster day. 30 of 39, 400 yards, 5 touchdowns in that St. John's win at Carlton today. And the only other game in the MIAC today, Gustavus was in St. Paul to play McAllister, and the Golden Gusties won it 36-7. And we'll try and bring you a game report. Certainly take a look at the box score a little bit later on. Let's get over to the Northern Sun. All finals now. Augustana shut out Winona State in Sioux Falls, 31-0. Bemidji State, a winner at home, beating Minot State, 21-9. Kevin Reed, the voice of the Beavers, will have a game report very shortly. It was MSU Moorhead winning on the road at Concordia St. Paul. Seafoam Stadium right along I-94 in the Midway area. Dragons win at 34-31. Wayne State wins at Marriott. That is a road trip. Wayne, Nebraska to Bismarck, North Dakota. Wayne wins at 30-0. And finally, Sioux Falls beat Minnesota Duluth 24-21. Off here for the Bulldogs. The good season for the Cougars continues. We hope to get a game report from Tom Frederick on that one. Once again, Sioux Falls beating Minnesota Duluth 24-21. Southwest Minnesota State has the week off. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll jump into the game reports. Oh, excuse me. Almost forgot the UMAC and the WIAC. Don't want to do that on this Saturday in the UMAC. It was Crown winning at Westminster 30-13 in Fulton, Missouri. Greenville beat Martin Luther 42-35 in Greenville, Illinois. And Northwestern beat Minnesota Morris in Roseville today 44-13. And then east of the St. Croix in the WIAC, this conference is wide open. La Crosse bounces back. They win in Eau Claire 34-7. River Falls beats Stout in overtime 40-37 in a thriller in River Falls. And Oshkosh knocked off Platteville 24-17. Whitewater rolled over Stevens Point on Friday night 66-0. But this league is wide open. All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll start getting into those game reports from the Northern Sun and the MIAC in a moment here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is college football final on a Saturday here, October 19th. Jonathan Lowe is in studio keeping an eye on the Big Ten and that top 25 scoreboard, Missouri Valley as well. Tommy's win big today over Valparaiso, and we'll check all the scores several more times. We have finals in the MIAC, Northern Sun, UMAC, and WIAC today. Let's get into the game reports. Bemidji State playing today in the Northern Sun. They had Minot State. It's a relatively short road trip from Minot over to Bemidji. Kevin Reed is the voice of the Beavers and filed this report earlier.
It was the Beaver battle today at Chet Anderson Stadium in Bemidji, and Bemidji State came out a winner 21-9 over Minot State. The Beavers of Bemidji State got on the board in the first quarter, a 7-yard run from quarterback Sam McGath, and an extra point made it 7-0. Then about midway through the second quarter, Jared Gronsky had a 1-yard plunge with an extra point, and it was 14-0 Bemidji State. Minot was able to get a field goal from Maverick Price with about 4 minutes to go in the half, and at the break it was 14-3 in favor of Bemidji State. Minot State had 71 yards of total offense in the first half. They had 73 total yards in the third quarter alone, and it was Evan Lovett with a 13-yard run to make it 14-9. The extra point was no good, and that's where we stood at the end of the third quarter. Neither team was really able to move the ball effectively for a while until Bemidji State had a short field after a nice punt and a defensive stand gave Bemidji State the ball on the Minot State 28-yard line. It took Bemidji State 6 plays to cash it in. It was an 8-yard run from quarterback Sam McGath. The extra point made it 21-9 with 3 minutes to go in the game. Bemidji State was able to get the ball back on downs and run out the clock for the victory today. For Bemidji State, I mentioned Sam McGath. He was the leading rusher for Bemidji State today, 18 carries for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jared Gronsky for Bemidji State had 9 carries for 66 yards and a touchdown. Evan Lovett led Minot State, that's what I meant to say, 10 carries, 57 yards, and the lone touchdown for Minot State today. Bemidji State improves to 5-2 and will take the long road trip to Winona State next Saturday. Even though Winona State's record's not very good, Winona is a hard place to win when you're on the road. And that's up for Bemidji State next week. Minot State, they will travel to Duluth to take on Minnesota Duluth. Again, the final score from Chet Anderson Stadium in the Beaver Battle, Bemidji State 21, Minot State 9. Kevin Reed for the Beaver Radio Network.
All right, Kev, very good job. Kevin Reed, once again a producer here at CCO Once Upon a Time, now the voice of Bemidji State. Let's jump over to the MIAC and get a game report. St. John's at Carlton today. Johnny's and Knights. Alicia Vistendahl joins us from Carlton. Thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Absolutely. St. John's University was victorious on the road at Carlton College, winning by a score of 48-7. The number three Johnnies got out to an early lead by scoring on two touchdown passes from Aaron Severson in the first quarter and a two-yard rushing touchdown by Will Blakey early in the second. Carlton answered when Nick Toole hit Tyler Diamond for a 75-yard touchdown pass, making the score 20-7. In the second half, St. John's added three more passing touchdowns from Severson and a 69-yard rushing touchdown by Corey Bohmert. Quarterback Aaron Severson from Minnetonka, Minnesota, was 30 for 39 for 400 yards and five touchdowns for the Johnnies.
All right, very good, Alicia. Thanks so much for the call today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, once again, Alicia Vistendahl calling in from Carlton today. St. John's beat Carlton 48-7. And quick rundown on what's going on next week in the MIAC. St. Olaf at Augsburg and Minneapolis, noon start. Carlton, the trip to Duluth, they'll be at St. Scholastica. Bethel will travel to St. Paul and visit Hamlin. Short trip there. Concordia on the road in St. Paul, they'll be at McAllister. And Gustavus will travel up to Collegeville and play St. John's. Outside of that St. Olaf Augsburg game, all the other games in the MIAC are 1 o'clock starts. I think we have time to squeeze in one more game report. Jonathan, do we have time to get to Josh Deere, or should we wait?
Let's wait on that one.
All right, we're going to wait on Josh Deere. Concordia is St. Paul today, taking on MSU Moorhead. The Dragons won a wild one, 34-31. Let's just run down those Northern Sun scores again. Augustana beat Winona State, 31-0. Hope to get a game report on that one. The Vikings win there. You heard Kevin Reed reporting Bemidji State beat Minot State, 21-9 today. It was Wayne State winning at Mary, 30-0. Once again, one of the tougher road trips in the Northern Sun. Wayne, Nebraska, to Bismarck, North Dakota. Look that one up on Google Maps. And then Sioux Falls beat UMD 24-21 today, the final. Southwest Minnesota State had the day off. Let's jump over to the WIAC today. This conference is wide open. Platteville going into the day had the lead, the lone unbeaten. Not anymore. Oshkosh beat Platteville 24-17. River Falls beats Stout in a wild one, 40-37 in overtime in River Falls. Meanwhile, Lacrosse bounces back. They beat Eau Claire on the road in Eau Claire, 34-7. And then Whitewater beat Stevens Point, 66-0. This WIAC is going to go down to the final week of the regular season. It is wide open. And in the UMAC today, here are the finals. Crown wins on the road at Westminster, 30-13. They made the long trip to Fulton, Missouri, and win. It was Greenville beating Martin Luther, 42-33. At Greenville, Illinois, and in Roseville, Northwestern beat Minnesota Morris 44-13. And if you're wondering about St. Thomas, they got a win over Valparaiso. We're going to have a rundown of all the scores from the Big Ten, the Top 25, and the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Huge showdown tonight, South Dakota State, North Dakota State. And as Jonathan mentioned, that is coming up on ESPN2 tonight, the big Dakota marker game at the Fargo Dome tonight. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, by the way, Georgia, Texas in the top 25. I kind of forgot about Georgia, Texas. I think the Bulldogs beat the Longhorns in Austin. How about that? I think that's the way it's going to go. We've got all the news, all the weather coming up at 5. This is College Football Final on News Talk, 830 WCCO.